them. You're going to want to welcome them this morning. So why don't you put your hands together and whistle or whatever you want to do to say hi to Brendan and Angela McCauley.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Randy. Well, it's always great to be back here again. It's been a while since I was here, about a year. Yeah. See, the problem is, if I don't come for a year, what happens? Randy gets into trouble. Yeah? Did you hear about it? They invite him to some civic reception. He goes down, he starts talking about Jesus. What are you doing that for? What are you doing? My God. Gets into trouble. I have to come over and sort him out. You don't talk about Jesus anymore. Don't do that sort of stuff. I heard that half the pastors in America don't have a biblical worldview. That means, you know, they don't believe the Bible and stuff like that. And something like only 9% of people in North America have a biblical worldview. Mostly they're all, well, it's okay for me, it's okay for you. How do you do it? I don't think it's right in my life. All that stuff, you know. That's not in the Bible. It wasn't the last time I looked. There's Paige. Good to see you, Paige. I was looking around there, and a lot of the old faces, I haven't seen them. Like Gary, he's in heaven. So every time I came, Gary always bought me a big fish. Now no fish. Oh, I got a fish. You bought me a fish, didn't I? Gary always brought me out and gave me a big fish. I kind of like Gary because I fought with him a lot, you know. Anybody else ever fight with Gary? Yeah. But we got on well. And then, what about my friend? Who do you call him? Melvin? Melvin. Where's Melvin? Anybody ever see Melvin? Anybody ever sees Melvin? Tell him Brendan was asking about him. Melvin. Do you know a big Melvin? Any Melvin? All the Melvins are good. But little Melvin. And Lottie. There's Sam. Sam's looking good. I think if they ever do a movie of Bruce Springsteen, who's going to play the young Bruce Springsteen? Stand up there, Sam. You see, he thinks they want them down there because it's all the passion. They'll say, oh, Bruce Springsteen. Big crowd comes in, the young Brucey. Bang! Born to run, get down there. Doesn't he look like young Bruce Springsteen? If there's such a thing as reincarnation, which there's not, I want to come back as Sam, playing Bruce Springsteen in that movie. We all have our fantasies, huh? Anyway, don't be getting into any more trouble, Randy, please. All right? So I'm coming back giving my report of what has happened. What has happened. I don't really tell jokes. I never tell jokes. And I never intend to tell jokes. My wife tells jokes. She's awful at telling jokes. You want to hear one of my wife's jokes? She was telling this joke. I hate it, but you don't have to like it. I'm revising it for me. Thank you. Thank you, darling.
No, please.
All right, sorry. Do you remember it used to be He taught us, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. It's now, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If granny ain't happy, run! Isn't that right?
Well, that's a joke.
Is it? Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever told a joke. This joke I've told, Brent's got me to say it a few times. A Canadian man married an Italian lady. Italians are very good. They cook lovely meals. And it just said, my son is married to an Italian, and he said to his wife before he went out to work, I want you to cook me a nice meal tonight and get the dishes done and have the house tidy. He came home that night, and there was a little bit done. He came home the next day, and he saw that things were getting better. There was a meal made for him. Came home the third day and everything was done. The dishes were done, the lovely meal, and the hidey.
Because that's part of the punchline. Otherwise, these are Canadians. No, I'm not going to give you. You have to use saw.
So another Canadian man married a Polish lady. And Polish ladies are very hardworking. But she was so glad to be married, she took the first day off. And he came home that the first day and he said he wanted his house tidied up, the dishes done, and the meal on the table. He came home the first day and he saw there was no work done. So he just was patient and waited till the next day. And he came home and he saw things were better. The dishes were done, there's a meal on the table. And he came home the third day and he saw things were really all done, and he was a happy guy that night. So their marriage blossomed. So if you want to go to the marriage course, you need to make good meals. And wash the dishes, ladies. So the third Canadian man was a lucky man. He married an Irish girl. Hallelujah! And he said to her, I want the dishes washed. I want the lawn mowed. I want a dinner on the table tonight when I come home. And he went to work and he came home the next day and he didn't see anything. And the next day he came home and he didn't see anything. And the next day he came home and his eyes were open because the swelling went down.
Now, what's that about? Who do you think she's thinking of when she tells that joke? Ah, oh, dear. If mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right. Right, lads. Okay. Sarah. Everybody knows Sarah. Sarah means princess. We'll prophesy for Sarah this morning. Should we? Yes?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Say yes, Brendan. Yes. No, Brendan. Yeah. This is a blog. You know what a blog is? I've been running, trying to sort out blogs. They're probably old things now, blogs. Show the picture, Sarah. This is my family. That's Angela. That's the boy whose eyes are closed. So Angela and I were over in Iceland a couple of weeks ago. So this is a blog that I wrote. A strange bed in a strange room in Reykjavik, the northernmost capital in the world, just the northernmost part in the world. For some reason, God said he was going to give me the north, and he keeps bringing me to these northern places. A low moaning awakened me. A voice said, they're all gone. And I asked, who's gone? So it's the middle of the night, I waken up and hear this voice, and they're all gone. I said, who's gone? Sarah, where did you go? Thank you, Sarah. My children, they're all left. My wife, Angela, was talking in her sleep. We're experiencing the empty nest syndrome. The last three of her 14 children are away at university. The previous day, Angela had wept on the plane for some of her children. I don't know if you do this in the marriage course now. But you know, you're kind of on airplanes with Angela. I told her that I would take, she helped me go to the nations when I was younger, and I told her I would bring her with me. So you're sitting in the airplane and she starts crying. And they think you're fighting with her. Now, I would never fight with my wife. Sure would. It's strange. You put that in the course, Sam. You're going to put that in the course about women crying and all that stuff, and you don't know what they're talking about, and you're afraid to ask them, all that, right? Okay. The previous day, Angela had wept on the plane for some of her children. Didn't say which one. And again, I'm not mentioning it here because they'd be reading this too. One minute she's laughing at the days to come. The next minute she's praying and crying about some long-standing issue. Mothers don't ever forget their suckling childs, their suckling infants. On the flight, Angela mentioned an 11th century Icelandic event called the Kristinaka, which means the taking of Christianity. There was a civil war between the pagans and the Christians in Iceland, so they decided they'd become Christians. A bit like North America and stuff like that, as long as they could hold on to the old laws concerning the exposure of infants and the eating of horse flesh, and they could remain their private pagan worship at home. Okay. So they kind of took on that type of Christianity. That this exposure of infants means killing babies. Newborn babies were left out in the snow as a way of population control. Now we have abortion. Infanticide was and still is practiced all over the world. Check out Wikipedia. I had said the most dangerous place in the world today for a female is to be in her mother's womb in India. That's the most dangerous place. Chances are really, really small if you're a female and your mother's womb in India have been born. Then I said, it wasn't so with you, Angela. Your womb was the safest and the warmest place in the world for boys like Isaac there. You were, as Psalm 128 says, a fruitful vine within my house. You produced children like olive shoots around my table. You give me a double portion of kids. On the flight, I'd been reading an article about human hearts and how their stored memories can be transferred to the new heart transplant recipient. So they're doing all these heart transplants. And apparently your heart stores memories like other parts of your body stores memories. So there's a story about this 43-year-old. He got a heart transplant from a teenage girl. Within about 6 months, he was giggling all the time. And she had had bulimia, and he would be thrown up after his dinner, you know. And other stories of how people had the heart transplant. One guy who was, he got a heart transplant, and he started seeing somebody who looked like Jesus, and then flashes, and he got this blinding headache. And it turned out the guy who he got the heart from was a police officer, and this long-haired hippie boy who looked like Jesus had shot him. This was face-to-face. He shot him twice in the head. So this must have been the last thing that the heart saw before it went. He kept having these flashbacks. Most amazing stuff. So I thought about what would happen if somebody got Angela's heart, you know? On the flight, I'd been reading about an article about human hearts and how their stored memories can be transformed to the new heart transplant recipient. It mentioned over 70 documented cases of heart transplant patients experiencing personality changes as they took on many characteristics of the donor. I'm just getting revelation right now. We have been given a new heart, haven't we? Yeah. So we're probably going to take on a lot of those memories and characteristics of the donor. Thank you. Where am I, Sarah? What would I do without you, Sarah? For example, that's a 47-year-old male who ended up like a girl. I wondered what might happen to anyone who received Angela's heart. They had no doubt experienced intense memories of children to care for and to pray for and to dream about and to talk in their sleep about and to cry in their sleep about and to cry on airplanes about and to pray about and have to come and see in places like Cloverdale and Canada and to sort out all over the world. Perhaps they too would talk in their sleep and weep real tears. One of Angela's favorite scriptures is from Exodus 20 about God showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Angela wants God's best for her children. That's why she so fiercely guards their lives and callings and attitudes with so much prayer. That's why she's so intense in her desire to protect her children's personal standards of conduct and holiness. She's not easy to live with, you know. She doesn't want her children and her children's children living under any curse or being slaves to Satan or the world's cruel system. And she tells us that often, including me. Sometimes she puts a fork in my backside and holds me over hell and says, is that where you want to go? Is it? That's the sort of theology I get in our house, Randy. Not that one about the stones. I thought that scripture meant if we don't worship the dun 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 guys would play, no? I can't get no. These guys are far too young in here. Angela's womb was a safe place. Her heart is even safer. No exposure of infants for her. Nightly she prays from Psalm 112. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commandments. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So thank God for mothers' hearts who carry their children, who carry their children and their children's children in their hearts. Where would we be without them?
Amen.
Or Randy, he carries churches in his hearts. He carries this church in his hearts. That's why he gets attacked in his heart sometimes. So what sort of stuff do we carry or are we carrying in our hearts? But I hadn't thought about that. We've been given a new heart. We've been given the characteristics and the memories of a new heart. So, Father, we thank you for the mothers here who carry things in their hearts. Too much stuff in their hearts sometimes. Carry too many burdens, heavy burdens. But we bless them in Jesus' name. We bless the wombs and the fruit of your wombs and your children and your children's children. May they be mighty in the land, in this land. Lord, we thank you for the children. I remember years ago, there's Jenny Dury sitting up there looking like me. She won't look like that for long, but I will continue, unfortunately. Remember the day Jenny jumped over her thing into a new... She jumped over a stick prophetically, and now she's into a new thing, and bringing forth life, and babies come. Children are a blessing from the Lord. If you want to know if there's a blessing, look around the children.
Amen.
Children are a blessing from the Lord. So we bless you and bless your children. Bless the life here. It's nice to come here when... Ah, there's my old friend, Dawson. There, a beard's growing, boy. You're looking good. A lot of beards around here. Did you notice the beards up the front? I remember those guys when they couldn't grow beards. You remember, Sam? You were going to look every day. I mean, you, Sam, when he couldn't shave. Remember we went out and bought Sam his first razor?
Yes.
Daddy, daddy. It was for his teddy bear, wasn't it? You going to pray for Dawson, are you? Better give Angela time. What time did we finish out here?
2 minutes ago.
2 minutes ago. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sure. My God. You can say anything you want, love. Stop it. It's the devil.
Just quickly, when we were in Iceland, I looked at the map of Iceland from that was on the internet, and it was a photograph taken from the satellite. And the picture of Iceland is like the shape of a heart. You agree with me? Yes. Amen. Yes. And there's, you know, there's bits of peninsulas that stick out the top of it, and they're like the veins and the aorta that stick out of your heart. And it, to me, it looked like a heart. But on the, from the NASA, the photograph showed Iceland, it was all white because it's wintertime there and it's covered in snow. But there's a little dark spot in the middle of it, and that is where the volcano is. So the volcano is bubbling up since last August. There's a volcano erupting and overflowing in Iceland. So to me, it's a picture of God is coming to break... break through the hard hearts and the cold hearts. This is the time he's moving for breakthrough. And his love and his blood will cover the coldness and break the ice and melt the ice and break the hard hearts. And we need a move of God and we need his power to happen. So that is what I see as Jesus is doing. He is the blood. He provided his blood to heal and to... Today I said to Brendan, I want to pray for hard cases. And I said, I want to pray for Dawson. Do you want to come up? Is that okay? I'm going to pray for him. Yeah. To give glory to Jesus, because he is a healer, complete healing. He says, I am the Lord that heals thee. And it says, if you worship God, I will heal you. You won't have any sickness. So this is what I pray for Dawson today. You're a worshiper of God. You put God first. And God says, I am the Lord who heals you. And I am the Lord who will take sickness away from you. And I'll provide for you bread and water. And there'll be no barrenness in your children and your people. So today, in the name of Jesus, I declare complete healing over you from the tip of your head to the soles of your feet. The word of God says, strengthen the weak arms and strengthen the weak knees. We break the power of diabetes over you in the name of Jesus. We pray for your blood to work normally, for your levels to go up, to be at the proper level, for right balance in your life. Jesus, you came to make us whole. So we pray for Dawson to be made whole. He saved the best wine for the last. Your latter years will be better than the former years. That you could cause these feet to dance. That he won't have fear of the future. That he would walk and not faint. He would run and not be weary. We refuse any what the doctors say. We say he shall be healed. He walk in healing. Walk and declare your healing. Do not look back. You walk forward. What Jesus said, that I am the Lord that heals you. As you worship you, and the Lord says he will bless those who worship him with healing and take away all sickness from you. Whatever sickness you have, I don't know its name, but every sickness go from you in Jesus' name because of the blood of Jesus. God also showed me in Iceland that he's so anxious that the fire is coming up from the earth with his anger, because he sees people in sickness and he's angry because of it, because his son provided healing through his blood. So God wants you to receive the healing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just what? Yeah, with hard cases, that's the Irish can deal with them.
Thank you, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. Well done. So, you see Angela praying for healing. She enjoys praying for healing. We have to do what we enjoy doing. Sorry, okay. Thank you, Randy. Thank you. Anything else? How can I help you in any other way?
Little Irish dancing.
Dancing. I'll show you a bit about dancing in a minute. So the whole thing, you know, they've been talking about pastors and prophets and pastors and teachers and all that sort of stuff. And all of that's really just about a function. It's not about a title or an office. Angela's a healer. She wants to heal. I'm a prophet. Even in the middle of the night, my wife, I hear waking up and hear her talking. That's just a function. They're not great titles, you know, the healer Angela. But people, we have to do what we're born to do. I notice that about Angela. If she's not praying for people and fighting with the devil and all that sort of stuff, she really gets unhappy, you know. And I don't need to do that sort of stuff. I have enough trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see you, Crystal. God bless you. Crystal Batke. I used to travel with her dad, Lionel. He's a great man. He reads the Bible. Remember the Bible? Remember we used to read that stuff? I always intend to read the Bible, but I kind of, when I start talking, I just go like this. It's not that I don't read the Bible, but I'm not really a Bible teacher or preacher or anything like that. I was with a Baptist for a long time. Used to read the Bible all the time, maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Three or four times. Stop it. A bad out of spirit here. Hold on till I just deal with this here right now. You know, I mean, it's not a big deal reading the Bible. It is a big deal. I'm getting myself. But it's not that hard. You can read the Gospel of Mark in about an hour, you know. Just if you read it like a normal book, and I'd read normal books. Or if you can watch a movie. What's the longest Luke, Matthew? It's about an hour and a half. You know, so that's not that difficult, is it? You can wash yourself with the word. Scripture said we should wash our wives with the water of the word. So I wash my wife every morning, don't I, love, whether I like it or not, with the water of the word. And I pray for her. You know that, what I do every morning, waking up, pray for my wife. What do I do? She waking me up this morning out of a dream. What percentages? I waked up this morning out of a dream. I hate being wakened out of a dream. Any of you like that? I hate it. It's like, oh, it's like a hangover. You know what a hangover is? I can't remember. hangover. So I was halfway down the grave. I was standing in this ground. It was sinking into the ground. And I just said, Brendan, waking up. So I wakened up. I was half into a grave. So I don't know what would have happened next. What percentage is love? Come on, tell me. That's why we need each other as you get older. You can't remember who you are. Who am I?
I'll tell you now. we found out facts. We're into statistics and the internet at the minute to find out these facts. So we've read a book about Francis McNutt, statistics about family life. And in it, he said that 3% of the people that come to his conferences, only 3% pray with their family.
Only 3% had ever heard their father.
That's why I want you to talk.
No, this is the way we help each other. We didn't have a preferred.
Okay, 3%.
I don't know what God's going to do.
3% what? I do.
Yeah, you do.
3% what? 3% what?
Wasn't her joke better after I told her to say the bit about sea? Otherwise, nobody would know what happened.
No, don't.
The best I can. Okay. How am I doing? Third out of ten. How am I doing?
Wonderful.
One.
All right. Let me finish. 3%, okay? 3% what?
3% of the... Thank you. 3% of the participants. Only 3% of the participants had ever heard their father praying spontaneously.
And the
except he went to Oral Roberts University and 50% had heard their dad praying. The point being, we need to pray with our kids every day. The point, what we did, we would pray with our children every day. We would read the Bible to them every night, wouldn't we?
So then he found out another statistic that 93% of fathers who are believers, there's a big chance of his children being believers.
And for fathers who are believers, 93% of the kids will be believers.
Okay. And for 19% of mothers who are believers, no, for mothers who are believers and the fathers unbelievers, only 19% of the children are believers.
Wow.
So whenever I heard that, I relaxed. There's no point me crying over my children or praying over my children, and their job is up to their daddy. He has to pray and cry and to get these sons sorted and these daughters. So it's a big relief for me. But to honor...
It's a relief during the night when you're...
To honor Brendan, when our children were young, we stayed at home. He stayed at home. He didn't go to the pub. He didn't go to the rugby match. He didn't go to the football game. He didn't do whatever guys do.
He
stayed home. And stayed with the family. The only time we went out was for a drive to the beach or something, and he was with us. So God is now rewarding him for those years that he invested in his children because now he's getting a harvest. God has given my husband a big house. I was for retiring. We had a big house where we reared our children, and I was so tired that I wanted just a little house, no children near me, no grandchildren near me. I wanted a rest.
So for me, there was no condemnation, no condoms, or no condominium. Okay.
Instead, no condominium. Anyway, we got this lovely bungalow.
No condominium.
So we had this wonderful condominium in the country, and I could look at the stars and praise the Lord. And Brendan was scratching his head in next door. He wasn't really happy there, but I was happy there. I was getting a rest. There was no room for children to come back. In fact, they were leaving. One of our sons is here. Anyway, so I was having a happy time, but I came to Canada to see my son in October. And while I was away, a volcano erupted at home. And we had to move house when I come back. But now God has given Brent a big house. And as when we were here, all our children are back home having a party at Brent, Daddy's, Granddad's big house. Because the children are all coming back and bringing their children, even though we're not there. God is honoring Brendan for those years. What you sow, you will reap. Brendan's reaping now what he sowed all those years ago. He may not feel like it, but God is giving him a harvest of his children and his children's children. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So men, start praying for your children and your children's children. The wives have prayed hard. It's now time for them to relax. Get the men praying.
So you got to start at any time. So what time is that it? Is that over yet? No? Is it good? It's good to see Deborah. I saw a movie. What was it? I saw a movie about... Jodie Foster, she was in some sort of a safe room or something like that, no?
Panic room,
was it? You look like you, Deborah. Did anybody ever tell you that? You know that, yeah? You look like Jodie. Stand up there, let the people see you. You know, Deborah, Jodie, turn around. Jodie. Deborah her email address is granny with the tambourine.
For Jesus,
isn't it? Thank you, Randy. My memory's granny with a tambourine for Jesus. Imagine writing that out all the time. So I'm going to give Christine a new name today. You'd be granny with something. But you have to guess what it is. Sarah's going to help me here. I'd like to give a bit of a report back to, we went to Israel. One of Angela's, the desires of her heart was to go to Iceland. I didn't particularly want to go to Iceland, but I went there because it was a desire of her heart. See, we have different desires within our hearts. Often a desire within your heart is like a prophetic word. It's like a call from God because we don't have all the same desires. So he gives us those desires. And the scripture says if we ask of him, he will answer our prayers. Give us the desires of our heart that our joy may be full. So with her, Angela, or if there's a desire like that within her heart, I'll do what I can to make it happen. And then stuff will happen. And she'll make stuff happen. When we're up in Iceland, Angela went out. She got fed up all the mouth-to-mouth stuff. Hey, Sam, stop that. Hey, what? Stop that stuff in here. You listen to me, right? Let's see. What was I talking about? Mouth-to-mouth stuff? No, yep, it's mouth-to-mouth stuff. The desires of her heart. So one of Christine's desires was to go to Israel. And Angela had wanted to go to Israel. I didn't particularly like going to Israel. Because a lot of the, I think I had been influenced by the media quite a bit. And there's a kind of buck-mad Christianity that just wants to kill all the Arabs and be very pro-Israel. And the media is very much against Israel. You know, that recent skirmish they had, the Arabs has thrown something like 4,000 missiles into Israel. If you put 2 missiles into America, you have World War III. Yeah. 4,000 missiles going into your country and it doesn't even show up in the newspapers. So I have a lot of learning to do, as you can imagine. But I was at some meeting and I prophesied for this lady. Stop it, Sam. What are you doing? What are you doing here? Giving his wife chewing gum? What is that? Is that what you're doing? What did I say last? Buck mad. That's the only thing you remember. Don't you get me going buck mad. Let's see. What was I talking about before Sam interrupted me?
Israel, going to Israel.
Israel. What about, oh yeah. So I prophesied for this lady. And I was teaching some people, we were kind of just prophesying for folk, which is always good. And so she was amazed by this because it had been accurate prophecy or something. Sometimes you get the odd one right. So she wanted us to come. She offered to put us up in Israel or something again and wanted to see Angela because Angela had been healed of 4-stage cancer. And I didn't particularly want to go. Put it up. Sorry, thank you, darling. When no one else can understand me. You ever sing karaoke in public? Everything I do is wrong. And I hate this sort of kind of. So I never have groups any more than about a dozen people. Shout at them. So the woman invited us to Israel. She was going to put us up in Israel. Angela wanted to go to Israel. I didn't want to go to Israel. You know, Israel is Jerusalem, Jerusalem, studying the prophets. Hello, Kim. Good to see you, Kim. God bless you, Kim. You were yawning there, Kim. I hope it wasn't you've heard this whole story before, was it? I hope it was something else. So then there'd been a guy, Reese, from Streams Ministries. You know Streams? You know Josh over here, Streams? Lord has blessed you with Streams being in your midst. He had sent me, give me some of John Paul's CDs, and in one of the CDs John Paul was talking about that he wasn't getting much revelation, and he asked the Lord why, and the Lord said, look at your journal. So he's so good, he has a journal. I just have stuff and dreams all over the place, you know. They come at me, I find them, put them in cupboards, hide them under the bed and stuff. John Paul has them sorted out. So when he looked at his journal, he noticed that after he had been to Israel, he would get a huge amount of revelation. So I thought, I could do a bit of revelation, you know. So the Lord's sneaky, isn't he? Isn't he? God's like a woman. He's sneaky. Knows how to get you. Knows how to get your attention. You're doing something else. So we went to Israel, and I did get a lot more revelation from Israel. So there is more revelation in Israel. What am I talking about? John Paul Jackson, God bless John Paul Jackson. John Paul has been, he's been under pressure. He was in Ireland recently. Any time I've ever met John Paul, he's been such a blessing, you know. I mean, such an example of how to behave as a prophet. Not a boy like, don't take me as the model. John Paul is the boy. So, Father, we bless John Paul Jackson. John Paul, I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. May the Lord raise you up from your sickbed. We proclaim over you, you shall not die, but live, and you shall proclaim the works of the Lord, and you shall release eagles all over the nations of the earth, and even nations you do not know about at this stage. We bless you, John Paul. We bless your wife. We bless your body, your spirit, your soul, in Jesus' name. And we honor you in the name of Jesus. Because he got me to Israel, didn't he?
He did.
He did. Anyway, I went to Israel. And then Christine and Randy came with us last year. So we hadn't got any tour or whatever. We just turned up. Now, you know Christine's buck mad. Don't you? I mean, you know that. You know, like, you know. But you know, you didn't realize about Randy. I've got the goods on Randy. I've got some photographs here I'm going to show you. I got the goods on Randy now. You can, Randy's not all this kind of happy, gentle character you see up here. So we went to Israel and we had a good time. We would be led. We didn't quite know what we were doing next day. And Angela would pray, or Christine would pray. Or, did you pray? No, did you? Randy prayed, and they got me out of bed, and we had adventures. So I just wanted to show you some of what happened, and also to stir your heart up towards Israel. A lot of the people that we met in the churches, etc., we went to, you can't show. Because it's still pretty difficult for Christians and Messianic Christians and all sorts of people out there. It's just a difficult nation. But we had all sorts of adventures. We ended up in Bethel, not the Bethel down in California, the real Bethel. We like go back to the source. We had adventures there, didn't we? And I had a couple of dreams. I had a lot of revelation there, but I had a dream where I saw Jesus, and I'll tell you about this, maybe that if I have time after this. Sarah, do you want to have a go at this? So just some of us at the Dome of the Rock, because, you know, the Muslims still have their mosque right in the center. Stop that, Sarah. Sarah? Thank you. So, and also, if you look through it, you'll kind of notice at points, the almond tree blossoms. The almond tree represents God watching over his word to perform it. He is watching over his word to perform it. I mean, these are amazing days. It was 1948, Israel came back from the nations. Moses prophesied 3,500 years ago that there would be a time that they would turn to God and he would bring them back from the ends of the earth. And that 3,500-year-old prophecy is happening right now. It's also been prophesied he would bring them back from the lands of the north. The scripture's full of it. This is a time when we're living. You go to Israel, you go to Jerusalem, you're walking in a prophecy. This is what a prophecy looks like. Children are playing in the streets again. Christine was dancing with children in the streets. Old men like Randy and I are walking in the streets and buying and talking again. The things that looked impossible to ever happen are happening right now in our day in Israel. It's amazing stuff to be able to walk in a prophecy and for things to happen to us. Anyway, I know as you're so much into the media, let us have a look at this. Kicking in, kicking back, and kicking ass. Here we got going out live all the way from Jerusalem. Macaulay Enterprises present.
We were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. And the bonnie boat was won as we sailed into the misty. Hark now, hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. wind and foghorn blows, I will be coming home. And wind and foghorn blows, I want to hear it. I don't have to fear it because suddenly we fell into a misty.
Reach out for help.
Give me the
help. since I am born. Every day. Yeah, any hour. Heals the sick. Heals the lame. And he says you can heal them too in Jesus' name.
So if Deborah is Granny with the tambourine in Jesus, is that it? Is there more Jesus Christ or something? Father, no?
Granny with the tambourine for Jesus Christ, sing King of Kings.
Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. When we were up at the Muslim place, this guy came over and he was saying, Allah has 100 names or 99 names or something like that. 99. I have another name for him. He's 100 at least. Is that right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's always good to see Alan here. Alan's always here. People come and go, but Alan's always here. The Lord knows where Alan's going to be every Sunday. I know them in the right place. So I didn't really want to talk to this boy, but Angela was talking to him, and Christine was trying to get him converted or something. And Randy was giving him all those deep, profound truths he has about the stones and stuff like that, you know. So I wanted to get away from him. He said, Allah. I said, yeah, I know his names. I know the name. The name is God is Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega. He said, yeah. Remember? Alpha and Omega. So I would get into a row, so I didn't want to. So if Christine, or what's your name again? Deborah, you're not your woman. Who do you call her? Judy Foster? No, Deborah. Judy. Confusion around here. It's a jet lag. So if you're a Granny with a tambourine and Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and names you're not allowed, Christine's new name is Granny with a camel. Granny with a camel in Jerusalem. So you're Granny with a camel in Jerusalem. Did you see the nice photographs of her on the camel? There were others. Stuff like that.
She's amazing.
Is it like Facebook? Isn't she? Camelot. Did you like the camel a lot? So one night when we were... One night I don't see Jesus that often. I see him in people quite a bit. But I don't see him. I haven't dreamed about him too much. But I had a dream one night, and in the dream I saw King David. And he was just sitting there with some sort of a musical instrument, and everything was golden. There was this golden, precious, kingly thing about it. I don't know if I'd been talking to him, but when I came out of the vision, I was just looking at him. And I suppose that's his place, isn't it, Jerusalem? And then I think the next night I had a dream in which I saw Jesus. And he just looked like we had been seeing Jewish people. So he looked like a young Jew, probably in his 30s, with the hair kind of down. But he was just standing, looking at me. And I was doing stuff, and then I realized he was looking at me, and I looked at him. And what I felt was this, it was like a sign, but it was the tender mercies. Tender mercies. Now, there's the scriptures that talk about tender mercies. I didn't kind of feel love. Or I don't know, you know, love for me is caught up with Angela and 14 kids and stuff like that. But I felt this other sort of tender mercies. And if you look up scriptures like Psalm 51 talks about the tender mercies of our God. The tender mercies, you know, he forgives us our sins. And he because of his tender mercies, he doesn't put us because of justice. Just could sense his tender mercies of God, you know. Now, there was a time when I really needed the tender mercies of God. You know, we walk in righteousness nowadays and we don't just feel it the same. But there was times when I thought I'd never do anything or never get back from where I was. I suppose we've all felt like that. But there's always the tender mercies of Christ. So when he looks at us, it's always that tender mercies, I'm sure. Maybe that's the way he was looking at me, just with tender mercies, just caring about me, poured himself out for me. And I knew as I was looking at him that he was the Jesus of Isaiah 53, where it says he was wounded for our iniquities, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, Dawson was healed, or Angela was healed. And as we were singing today, it really is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And he's so loving. But it's just that tender mercies. And maybe he must be always extending tender mercies towards people, towards any situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how bad, or wherever we are, those tender mercies. If we could see him, there's nothing judgmental in him, or nothing that you had to perform anything. So he did all that for us. Maybe some of us should look up tender mercies, or look at Isaiah 53, all that he did for us. And we didn't have to do anything other than receive it. The tender mercies of our God. It's just about love, and it's about family, and it's about old guys like Randy and I having a bit of fun. Christine and Angela flirting with them guys. We had to go and get them back. See them dancing about the place and stuff like that. I'm glad Deborah wouldn't be there. It'd been awful, wouldn't it? That granny with a tambourine gets to Israel, we're all in trouble. So it's good for old people like us to get out and play too, isn't it? To have some fun, to move in the Spirit, to see the Spirit moving, to see the Lord moving. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you. It's great for Angie and I to come here and to be loved. And the worship's wonderful. Sam's getting a bit better, but isn't Amanda doing awful well? But, you know, we'd be at all sorts of places and the worship's awful. You kind of, sometimes you go in, you don't know if there's a God or not, but honestly, but here the worship is wonderful. You know, you're so rich. It's such a rich place. And sometimes it's like, you know, having a good looking woman, you don't always appreciate it. Right, Lou? I think that's me done, Randy, isn't it?
Is it?
Can we do anything else?
Well, you had a prophecy for Sarah.
Oh, right, Sarah, come on down. If Sarah. Is Sarah Dawson's granddaughter?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to come and help me, Angela? Anybody else? Sarah. So, Sarah, you were properly named. Sarah, a princess. You are properly named. You are a princess. God sees you as a princess, and you shall function as a princess in the land. We bless you for all the hard work you put in and how effective and efficient you have become. God will open doors and open hearts for you. He has opened doors and he has opened hearts for you. And salvation has come to you and to your house. And you are the result of much blessing, yes, and much prayer. And from you will come salvation, mm-hmm, to many people, to children yet unborn will give thanks because of you. So we break the power of you comparing yourself with anyone else. Good. We break the power of that over your life in Jesus' name. You are made specifically by God to be the beautiful princess that you are and that you're becoming and that you're growing into be. And your grandchildren will bless you. Your grandchildren will love to sit on your knees. Your grandchildren will love to be around you and listen to your stories. For you shall wear them like a necklace around your neck. Anybody who will look at you and look at your life will say, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. The Lord will bless you like Sarah of old, with many gifts, with great fragrance. The fragrance of prayer shall burst forth within your life and through your life. But you have chosen in your heart to stand and to do the right thing, and to seek the Lord, and the Lord will bless you beyond that which you can imagine this day. Well done.
Yes, the scripture says that we will sit and we'll tell our children and our children's children about the works of the Lord, and you will tell your children about God healing your father. So lift up your father's arms and strengthen the weak knees and endure until you see him completely healed. In Jesus' name, amen. I also have some gifts around the corner. Ladies, if you want to go and pick out a little gift, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. What's our habit? I always go over the time, so I don't really want to go over the time.
That's okay. You got another prophecy or two?
Well, there's always prophecy. I mean,
it's
easy to prophesy in this place. It's easy to prophesy here in this house. Let me just prophesy for the church. Huh? Okay. Hold on, Christine's got it, this big thing. Huh? You still pen that off? Thank you, Father. See, I believe God's pleased with you, and you will stand, but if you endure and stand, you will bring forth a harvest. You are bringing forth a harvest. And that word, I felt the Lord was showing me, the fire, do not put out the fire. Satan wants to put out the fire. He doesn't care about you, but he wants to put out the fire. He doesn't mind if you have these programs and good programs, but he wants to put out the fire and the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit. But you have fought for that. And as long as there's breath in your body, you will fight for that because you have pushed into freedom. And you don't ever want to lose that freedom. For where the Spirit is, there is freedom. And people and men and women are allowed to be free. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek in this place. People are allowed to be free. I love, there's no restrictions. No condemnation, no accusation. I pray for that couple there, the girl in the red, good-looking girl in the red with this fella. Sean, is he Irish? You Irish, Sean? Come on, you boy. If you're Irish, come into the parlor.
Fijian Irish.
Fijian Irish? Hey, we never got to Fiji yet, did we?
No.
Yeah? Are you coming?
Yeah, you said.
Well, I don't know if you're going to Nigeria now. Nigeria. They say the Nigerians are the British of Africa. Did you know? So are we going to go to Fiji or not?
We're going to go to Fiji.
When are we going to go to Fiji?
No.
If you do the mouth-to-mouth course, that's not the way. You know that mouth-to-mouth stuff? Do you remember when I first met you, I thought you were a doctor, love? No? I thought you were doing it's the badness. Thank you, Father. What? I would go to that course now. Are you not going? I'm going to go. I took Angela to counseling one time. You ever go to counseling, $20, £20, you know me? She made me buy her a meal. And the counselor said, you know, how's your sex life? Okay, how's your, oh, good. And she looked at me. And then Angela, you claimed the counselor was flirting with me, did you? She wasn't. So she never went back, did you? But you see, for a man, going to counseling is good because it means instead of being 100% wrong, you're now only 50% wrong. I mean, that's worth £20, isn't it? Anytime. Good to see you. Here, Sam, look, this boy's taking notes here. You wouldn't learn from this boy. Look at that good-looking woman. Look at the children. I remember them when they were all unmarried, these people. Thank you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. I see a box of Smarties. Do you know, I don't know what your box of Smarties is. I mean, this is the way I prophesy. You'd think the Lord at my time of day would give me something better than a box of Smarties. Wouldn't you? And you still have to buy faith. Keep going. Variety and color and a blessing, a potential to attract children, to touch children, to uplift children, to make them smarter in the Spirit, smarter in the things of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has called you. Don't say he hasn't called you. You know the Lord has called you. He has called you to open hearts, and he's called you to open letters. I see envelopes, open letters of inheritance and treasures that people have, that God has placed within people. You will bring that forth within people. And it's not about you. It's about his plans and his purposes for you. And you will bring uplift to many people. You will bring uplift in education, uplift in understanding things of the Holy Spirit. And God will enable you to attract children like Smarties, to make them smarty, to make them colorful. It will be palatable for them, that which you give them. But the end result will be that you will open doors into the destiny and the call of God for them. God has put people upon the earth who have sealed orders. God has plans and purposes for them. And even when they're getting in there, it can be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I'm seeing a parable of the sower. You know, God's going to cause you to sow seeds, good seeds amongst people, and to go and sow again, that it will bring forth life within them, spiritual life, true life, the life of the Holy Spirit. He's going to use you with people, with young people, with your own children, and with other children to give them uplift in the days that lie ahead. And also there's a potential for you to bring finances into situations to help people, to give uplift to people. Uplift is the word that I say of you. You shall be uplifted, and you shall uplift a new generation, particularly of prophetic people, of people who love and understand the things of the Spirit. And the nations will be a drop in a bucket to you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So we thank you for this church. So don't give up. You weren't ever going to give up anyway. But we bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless your family. We bless your children. We bless your work. We bless the fruit of your womb. We bless all those things you carry, all those people you carry within your heart, all those things you struggle with, like Angela, to see them come to pass, to see them. Like, bless you, all the people who carry those things for your children and for yourselves. And sometimes it won't be... may not work out within your own generation, but it will come in generations yet to come. You're doing a big job, an important job. My own mother died last year. She was 94 and a half. And she had been dying in her 50s when I became a believer. Remember? She had bad angina. And I've kept her alive about half a dozen times. You're not going to take my wife, and you're not going to take my mother. But in the end, I had to let her go. 94 and a half wasn't bad, you know. But I was thinking about her. And when you're growing up, you think your mother's an idiot, you know. She doesn't know much. She's not like the ladies in the television, etc. But now you begin to think she's a hero. Over in Russia, if you have 10 children or more, it used to be up until 1948, you got a badge called Mother Hero. And you got free everything, didn't you? So this year, I bought Angela one of those. I sourced one of those Mother Hero badges and bought it for her. So she's looking at the other stuff as well. But my own mother, when I think of it, she was a hero. At 31 years of age, My father died, so she was left a widow with three children, one at 8, one at 6, and myself at a year and a half. And she had her grandmother living with her, who was in her 90s, and she had an educationally subnormal son of the grandmother that she looked after as well. How would you like that at 31 years of age? And there was no money in Ireland. And she took that job on and did a good job. And I thought she was stupid and didn't know anything. And she was actually a prophetess. She would have dreams and visions, but nobody knew how to talk to her about it. Nobody knew what it was. It just was irrelevant. But she was saying, oh, I had this dream last night. And years later, when I became a believer and was able to interpret dreams, I would go and talk to her. And she said, Brendan understands. He'll know what's happening. Wasn't that good? Yeah. She got to then. And the first night, she would tell, I would go and visit her as she got older. And she would be feeling down maybe or sitting there. She lived in her own right until the end. But she would start telling stories, and then she'd remember some story of somebody did something bad on her. She said, oh, bitch. And suddenly the adrenaline would kick in. And adrenaline's much better than any stuff you get in the chemist pharmacy. Her face would come alive, and she shouldn't have said that. And she would, you know, she would come alive again because a lot of her life was there. So she was good. She, in Ireland, where Catholics and Protestants never mixed, she had friends who were Catholics and Protestants and were always in our home, and we always went to visit them. So in the really bad days where we were killing each other, I couldn't, you know, hate Protestants because Hannah Gilpin, who nursed me on her knee, was a Protestant. And Mrs. Linus was a Protestant who used to give me the biscuits, you know. So she was into reconciliation long before you ever got paid for it. They actually were paying us money to talk to Catholics and Protestants in Ireland a few years ago, you know. And we used to do it all the time. We could have got some money from that, probably, couldn't we? Anyway, God bless what? Right. But I just want to say, God bless the mothers here with difficult situations and with some of those things you're carrying in your hearts and impossible situations. Because of my own mother's faithfulness, I was able to come along and have 14 kids and go to the nations. And as she got older, she got money from the government, you know, when she was 80 or 90, and she gave it to her kids and gave it to me and got people to the nations and blessed the nations. Amazing. But I never saw that. You see, mostly we don't see it. You remember Jesus, he was there with one day with a lot of guys like Sam and stuff, and they were saying, they're all thinking we're going to Nigeria. We're going to get this big rock band going and stuff like that. All the good stuff. And watching the guys putting in the money into the temple. But Jesus saw this widow wander across and put in her two mites. And then he said to the guys, did you see that widow? And they said, what widow? They didn't see any widow. Nobody sees any widow. Nobody sees some mother at home praying for her children. They see the big movie star, the star on, nothing against Julie Foster. But we don't see the widows. Jesus has had to say, do you see that widow? She has put in more than anybody. And there are people here that we don't see. Our life is hid with Christ and God, and we won't see, but they are putting in more. They are suffering and carrying people in their hearts, like those heart transplants. So God bless you for that. God bless you for that. Keep up the good work, because in due season, it will bear a big harvest and is bearing a harvest. So our life is hid with Christ and God. I love coming here. I love you keeping on, keeping on. And growing beards and stuff like that. You married yet? You not married yet, young fella, no? Hey?
Corey?
Oh, he's married. No, at the back.
David?
David, yeah. Well, what's he growing a beard for? Do you know? Did you want
to stay up here and take a bath? It keeps coming back to me tonight, to this afternoon, that Randy and Christine and the church here helped the homeless, but I believe God wants to make this into a hospital, and He wants nurses, because people in the desert. The house of God is a house of refuge. In the days that lie ahead, people will run into it for safety, for out of deprivation and difficulty and distress. And the Lord wants to make this a house of healing, but it's a long-term thing. You need, I believe God would release money to you to make a hostel, get a hostel, get a buildings, get houses set apart for homeless people. Not homeless that you think have drugs and drink and problems, but for people who genuinely cannot pay the rent and have no food, and they're ordinary people. So I feel you need to get strategies to get ready, to prepare, to help. The system of this world is Egypt. It's not the kingdom of God. The world takes your money and makes you slaves to work for it, and then they spit you out when you can't do it anymore. When you have no work and you can't pay the rent, they spit you out. But the kingdom of God is, God will provide your bread and your water and take away your diseases. So get whatever is necessary, and there needs to be nurses who will attend the sick and the homeless and the people in the hospital. Midwives help give birth. There's been midwives give birth to the Holy Spirit here. But God wants nurses to tend the sick in the hospital, and there needs to be a hospital where people can rest and recover and get in the kingdom of God and kingdom principles for them to go on into life. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless you with that. Pray release for that, vision for that, finances to get behind that. For rescue, the house of God is a place of rescue. There's shaking going on in the nations, and God are going to run into the house of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.